This episode of a Top 3 podcast, just like every episode, is brought to you by the wonderful people who've gone to patreon.com/realdavejackson to support the show. They are Chris Nelson, Chris Copleen, Eric Guess, Rick Firestone, Nick Vicori, Jill, Jeff, formerly Jerf, Kieran, Soccer, ZNA, Cupcake, Kyle, Christian S., Matt, aka Stormageddon, JD, Doug Leaf, Jason Emery, Brian Skirsha, Randall, Jake Martin, Jenny E., and many more. Of the many perks available for those who go and sign up on Patreon, one of them to shout out is that you can vote in polls for what episodes we do on the show. Next episode after this one is the result of one of those polls. We've got top three remakes coming your way. So if that sounds interesting, and if you want to throw a few bucks a month to help keep the show going and show your support, you can do so once again at patreon.com/realdavejackson. And with all that being said, let's get on to the episode.
And this is a top three podcast.
3, 2, 1. What's up, everybody? Welcome to a top three podcast where we honor the time-old tradition of listing our favorite things and arguing about it. My name's Dave Jackson. I'm the host, joined by the regular top three crew, starting with Aaron Engel.
Dave, I am hyped for this episode. I'm turning on the jukebox. Rolling Stones, Street Fighting Man, G7.
You just hit G8.
If you like pina coladas.
Very nice. Good job. That was not rehearsed ahead of time. Well, it was rehearsed for over the course of the last 10 years or so.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That's just how much you two suck.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of sucking that goes into pulling off an intro that good. Thank you, B-Man. We're also joined today by Alan. Alan.
Hi, everybody.
And Bloodbath McGrath, fan favorite.
Aaron, what's your least favorite country, Italy or France?
Ooh, can I say both?
No, you gotta pick one.
Italy, dude.
Ah, oh, man.
It's
like 85% of top three listeners come from Italy, man.
Nobody says France. All right, go ahead.
Not a fan of Rome.
I don't care for Naples. I don't know. And we're also joined today by a longtime friend of ours, a friend of the show, former guest on the show. Welcome back, Chris Nelson.
Hey, how's it going?
Good to have you back, dude. It's been a long time since we had you on Top 3. You've done a couple of Tales from the Backlog episodes with me in the meantime, but Top 3 was always number one in our hearts, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Real dead zone. Took a couple years off to recover. You know, I'm coming back strong.
To rebuild your reputation. Yeah. Today, we're good to have Chris back on. I think the previous episode we did was the, what was it? Top three bands you used to hate or something like that?
Slept on, I think, kind of.
Bands you slept on, right. Exactly. Okay, so that was the previous one. Today, we're going to talk about our top three rivalries. Rivalries such as me versus Alan, Aaron versus Alan, Bloodbath versus Alan, or possibly also Chris versus Alan. You name it, we've got all the best rivalries here in this episode today. And if this is your first time listening, the way the show works, we've all picked our top threes. We're not going to say them all at once like fucking animals. We're going to take turns. We'll all do our number threes, then our number twos, then number ones. Lightning round, honorable mentions, and then a bunch of listener responses from the Discord server, because I forgot to post it on social media again, but we got a bunch from the Discord server, so we'll get to those at the end of the episode. So, top three rivalries. Do we have anything about this particular topic that we want to put out in the open before we get into the lists?
First thing I want to say, Dave, is that it's not that I hate Alan. It's just that I don't want him to be alive anymore. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It does. Yeah. It does make sense. That's completely. I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. He's got a that's hateable face.
Yeah.
Bad. Very bad.
I think the only thing that, like, so that is a qualifier for a rivalry, right? Because you got, you know, like, I hate the Lakers, but as a Pelicans fan, I can't say, like, well, the Pelicans rivalry is the Lakers because I hate them and all Pelicans fans hate them. The Lakers don't give a shit about the fucking Pelicans, right?
Yeah.
So I think the one thing that at least all of our answers should have is that there is bad blood between the two things. Whatever battle, and it has had to taken place over a long period of time, whatever battle that is, whether it's physical or more of a metaphorical one, it has to be like either the two people that are rivals or the two teams that you have are rivals hate each other, or the two fan bases hate each other. That's to me what would qualify like a rivalry.
Yeah, agreed. It has to be two-sided, and it has to have gone on for some length of time, for sure. Also, with my list in particular, I know like top three rivalries instantly make some of us think of sports, but I did make a point to only have one sports rivalry on my list. The rest will get shuffled into the honorable mentions.
Does there have to be real competition for it to be a rivalry?
I just feel like it has to be acknowledged by both sides.
Yeah.
Like both sides recognize that there's a rivalry.
Any competition in any way with any of you.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's fair. But like, you know how there's like that part from Mad Men where the guy, he's in the elevator and he's like, I fucking hate you, Don Draper. And he's like, I don't even know who you are. Like, that's not a rivalry, you know? Or like, you know, two sports teams and one team is fucking awful and they just lose all the time. Like the Bills versus the Patriots. What up, rat boy?
The Bills versus winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah, something like that. Like it has to be acknowledged by both sides, like Chris said, and it has to be going on for a little while at least. A rivalry is a continuous thing. Like there's a competition or like a butting of heads over an extended time.
So like, Joe Burrow and the 17-game NFL season. Would that be a rivalry?
No, because the 17-game NFL season doesn't acknowledge Joe Burrow.
Yeah, it's inevitable that he will succumb to that. Yeah.
Right. I mean, like, he's not built for it, guys.
Right. It's a one-way thing. So, yeah.
Okay. So that's not a rivalry. That's just an unfortunate circumstance of the reality that we live in.
Well, it's fortunate or unfortunate, depending on where that's you fair. Lie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Right.
Let's get into the top three here. So I will get started with my number three rivalry. My number three, which is, I'm going to get the sports one out of the way right now because it's not my favorite, but it is definitely worth mentioning. Ohio State versus Michigan is my sports rivalry for this one. I have, obviously, all of my pro sports teams are extremely successful all the time. That's right. Every single one of them. And that type of success always brings about rivalries. But Ohio State versus Michigan, it might be one where if you don't live in this area, you don't quite get how fucking seriously people take it. And like, I don't take it that seriously. Like, I don't break my TV when Michigan beats Ohio State. But the rivalry and the fact that it persists through high turnover of players every single year, you know, they're there for 4 or 5 years max, but the rivalry has been going for, I don't know, 100 years or something like that. That nothing beats a good sports rivalry. I'll just say that. And if you're not a part of that rivalry, you might not quite get it, but Ohio State, Michigan's my number three easily.
And this is like one of those rare ones where it's like the college rivalry is as popular as any professional sports rivalry too. So yeah. My whatever with Ohio State's, you know, fluctuated throughout the course of my life, but that is the ultimate college sports rivalry and has a place in the pantheon of all-time great sports rivalries. I think the record is pretty similar, right? Like they've got to be pretty close to each other.
Yeah,
for something that's been going on for what, 100 years, like close to that, you know. So I like this answer, dude. Maybe the biggest rivalry in all of sports, but you hit the right thing. It's like, you know, I don't go crazy over these things, but it is really cool being a part of a fan base that is locked into a hardcore rivalry because it makes the games that much better every year. So yeah, like the answer.
Yeah, all-time record, Michigan leads 61-51, and then they've tied six times. So it's pretty damn close throughout. Yeah, over 100 games.
You know, I no longer work in an industry where I have to sit there and listen to the fucking Ohio State fans pee their pants every fucking time there's a game, even though Ohio State still wins. Like, okay. The rivalry, like, whatever, like, I don't know the ins and outs of it. I just know how I feel about Michigan and how Michigan feels about Ohio State. It's whatever. Again, the record, I think, probably speaks for itself. Like, Ohio State gets, like, pretty, like, boisterous, and there's a lot of bravado in Ohio State fans towards Michigan when it's, like, a pretty, like, evenly, like, met, like, match. Like, we've lost the last couple of years. Like, whatever. But Ohio State fans pee their fucking pants at every interception, tackle, touchdown, like that happens. Even though Ohio State, the record is always the same. They win every game except for one. They lose one, and it just fucks the whole rest of the season up. Or they win every game, and then Michigan beats them. Or they win every game, they beat Michigan, and then they still don't do anything because of, like, rules. Like, it's whatever. It's still fun, but, like... Like,
because of
I'm over Ohio State. He's right.
He's talking about the college football playoff at the BCS.
Tattoos.
I think Bloodbath's in a unique situation because he sees the fucking humanity of
the people who
well, yeah, number one, he doesn't really care, but number two, he had to be around and pretend to be nice to all of the people who, like, take it way too seriously. So I get it. I would guess that, like, people on the other side take it that seriously too. Like, it's a big deal for both sides. So
Ohio State fans are definitely the worst, though.
I won't deny as an Ohio State fan, I can't really deny that. So we'll move on from that. That's my number three, Ohio State versus Michigan. Aaron, what's your number three?
My number three is from The Simpsons and is going to be Springfield versus Shelbyville. there's a lot throughout the show about how Springfield and Shelbyville are rivals, and it comes together in this beautiful episode called The Lemon of Troy, where the residents of Shelbyville steal a lemon tree from Springfield, and Bart rounds up a posse of kids to go into Shelbyville and get the lemon tree back. I don't have a ton to say about this. It's kind of one of those things where it's like they really don't make a huge deal about this all the time. But throughout the course of the show, like, the people in Springfield are constantly talking shit about Shelbyville. And then when you do get those Shelbyville people, they're constantly talking shit about Springfield. We can move on here in a second, but I do love this quote. It's the monorail episode, and Lyle Landley comes in with the idea to sell the town the monorail, and he's like, "I've got the best idea ever." Ah, you know what? Never mind. This is more of a Shelbyville idea. And Mayor Mayor Quimby is like, "Now you listen here. We are twice as smart as the people of Shelbyville. Just say what you want, and we'll vote for it." It's like that's how deep the hatred runs, is they're like, "Oh, you think this is for Shelbyville? I don't care what you have to say. We're throwing all of our city's resources and money at you to make this happen just because you said Shelbyville was more suited for it." But yeah, I'm going to stop. I love the show, and this has always been a very funny little rivalry, is the residents of Springfield versus the residents of Shelbyville. So that's going to be my number three. How was my Mayor Quimby impression?
Perfect. Mayor Quimby is
8 out of 10.
It's a solid 7. Let's not suck his dick that much.
Yeah, no.
It's a solid 7. Here's what I'll say. That answer is why I love Aaron. That's all I have to say.
Fair enough. I haven't watched enough of The Simpsons to
like.
Go ahead, Chris.
Oh, sorry. I said it sounded a little bit too much like a Kennedy.
Is that the point?
Yeah, I think that's kind of like what he's supposed to. That's kind of who they modeled his voice after. Yeah, how was
like
my
a Kennedy? Midwest Kennedy? like a guy from the Midwest pretending to be a Kennedy.
Yeah,
that's what Mayor Quimby is.
That's why Alan gave
exactly
me
like that.
Yeah,
All right. Well, I don't know enough about The Simpsons to go into that, but it's very funny that they have a rival town like that. I like the one in Parks and Rec, like the similar situation. So that's Aaron's number three, Springfield versus Shelbyville. And Alan, what's your number three?
My number three is Rocky Balboa and Apollo Creed.
My man, that's my number two. That is my number two.
Hell yeah. Group think, team forever.
Hooray. Rocky and Apollo, great rivals. Started out as like, you know, enemies, and then they got to have montages running on the beach together. It was a beautiful thing. And then Ivan Drago came along and he killed Carl Weathers. And it was all downhill from there. Rocky, you know, he lost his vision in one eye. He couldn't box. And then he started street fighting. So it was tough. It was tough times.
Yeah.
G7.
Yeah, the way. This is my number two. The way that they start out as like the polar opposites, you know. Apollo's like the champion. He's like this big decorated guy. Rocky's like busting kneecaps for the mafia or whatever the fuck he's doing at the beginning of the first movie. And then the end of the first movie,
bouncing
always
on the docks.
Yeah.
You know?
I always like the way the first movie ends, where like Rocky doesn't win, but like it ends where they're equals basically. And then the whole second movie is the rematch. And then after that, they're friends, but there's always that like friendly competitive rivalry between them. Until Ivan Drago happened.
Well, that competitive friendly rivalry ends with like the best, like one of the best lines from Rocky, where they're getting ready to box against each other, because that was the promise that Rocky made to Apollo in exchange for him training off. So Rocky was able to, you know, beat up Mr. T.
Right.
And sometimes you just got to do that. But it was just ding, ding, you know, and that's, you know, people just say that in life. So, you know, when it's like, let's fucking go. Some people say, let's fucking go. Some people say, ding, ding.
That's right. I would say most people say, let's fucking go. But yeah, you're right.
I just heard about that last year. That's pretty new. Isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's a young thing. It's like one of the only ones that we can also say.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm saying all of
privilege.
It.
Good times. Yeah. So that's Alan's number three, and also my number two, Rocky Balboa versus Apollo Creed. And Bloodbath, what's your number three?
All right. Aliens versus Predators. Xenomorphs versus the Predators. I don't have a lot to say about it, but, you know, for whatever reason, the Predators don't like the Xenomorphs, and the Xenomorphs don't like the Predators, you know, and they just can't get along, and they have to, like, beat the holy shit out of each other, and I fucking love it. Every time it's in a video game or a comic book, you get the Predator, like, blowing up a Xenomorph, and then there's acid blood everywhere. It's great. It's just great. It's never, I'm sure like someone can like tell me the lore behind it. Like whatever. I don't care. I just aesthetically find it pleasing that someone decided to take these two bozos and make them fight each other. Also too, like the Predators are like game hunters. So I think like the first Predator, when he's out there in the jungle finding Arnold Schwarzenegger and Carl Weathers, is it possible like this, the Predator is just like a weekend, like on his planet, he's just like a finance dude. And like, this is his weekend vacation.
Just on vacation. Yeah.
Yeah. Like he's going to go back. Like, I mean, he dies at the end of that, but I mean like, he was just going to go back home and like fuck his wife in the ass and like
fill out TPS reports.
Yeah. His voicemails are just piling up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Days.
Yeah. He's got to get his TBS reports under
control. I don't know how much call the Predators have for an accounting department. I just don't. I don't know if they collect taxes or anything like that. Do they have roads?
The blood tax.
Let's talk about infrastructure.
Yeah, do the predators have public schools? Do you think they have government insurance? Yeah.
They definitely have an accounting department. They can answer like 7 phones at one time. I think. I don't know. I've never seen it.
Of course, they have universal healthcare. They're not savages.
Yeah, of course. And it's great too. There's no lines or anything. They're very professional. No one makes fun of you for having weird balls at the Predator Hospital.
Mm-hmm. It's because they don't have balls. They make fun of your weird jowls.
I do think I recall the Predator healing itself with a laser or acid or something one time. So I don't know how great their healthcare is.
Mm. Well, where do you think they got the acid?
He broke it off of the tail of one of the aliens. It was kind of DIY.
Yeah.
They got it at like a Predator CVS. Like Predator CVS just sells acid.
We're very funny. This is good. Okay, cool. Alien versus Predator. Bloodbath's number 3. So, Chris, what is your number 3?
My number 3 is Prince versus Michael Jackson, which Ooh. I didn't realize was one until somewhat recently. But I just want to kind of quick talk about something that had happened in said rivalry. They apparently shared a studio at some point, and their competition with one another bled over into a ping pong match, wherein which Prince ultimately beat Michael Jackson and made a somewhat off-color joke about him playing like Helen Keller.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
So Prince is just a Midwestern boy.
Yeah. So that spawned a rivalry for probably a while. I like to think that that's like, number one, I hope that's true. And then every time like one of them looked up at the other person's record on like the charts ahead of theirs, that they were just like, motherfucker, I'm going to get them back. Next time we play ping pong, I'm going to get them back, or basketball or something. But yeah, that's funny.
You have to think like they got to have like at least a rabid fan base rivalry, right? Like who's better, Prince or Michael Jackson? I mean, I don't know enough about Prince to argue in any way, but like it would kind of to me be like, okay, so what are like the more, you know, at least at our age, what were kind of like those music, right? There's like the NSYNC and the Baxter. There's NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys. There was are you Britney Spears? Are you Christina Aguilera? You know what I mean? So there is also, I think, that fan base rivalry that goes into something like that. Again, I don't know enough about it to give you any facts or back up what I'm saying at all, but there has to be at least like a faction of fans that are like, no, Michael Jackson's way better than Prince, or no, Prince is way better than Michael Jackson. I mean, like, they were, like, pretty huge at the same time, so.
Yeah, some of the stuff I read was kind of that, like, Jackson saw Prince and, like, even went to concerts where he was playing and, like, studied him, and I think Jackson was just a much more competitive person, generally, from some of the stuff I read, but that Prince was just kind of, I don't know. He was an asshole.
Prince existed on another plane than Michael Jackson. That's all I'm going to say. Prince won. According to Chris Rock, Prince won. Like, Prince put out an album every year. And I think it's interesting, too, that Michael Jackson leaned more pop. And Prince is ranked as one of the best guitar players of all time. So I think for them to kind of rise to prominence during that time, I think that's actually a really interesting one.
Yeah, like, I think that they're close enough, but different enough to have that kind of rivalry between fan bases or even, like, people who like both of them. Because I think that most people would probably like both of their
I like them both.
Music. Yeah. I mean, like, it's not a big stretch to me to think that most people would be like, yeah, Prince is good and Michael Jackson's good. So, but I guess the rivalry of who's better, like I didn't really think of music rivalries here, but that's definitely that's definitely one. Like maybe there's a couple others that come to mind now that we talk about it. But yeah, Prince and Michael Jackson makes sense that they would develop that kind of rivalry among their fans. But the funny part to me is that they had a rivalry, according to the story, between themselves over that started with the ping pong game, because they're both probably like maniacal competitors.
Game blouses.
That's kind of the part that I liked about it, was that it was just those two dudes disliked each other, or at least had some sort of like maybe like competitiveness between the two of them. And that instead of like, oh, I outsold you in records or whatever, he's like, I beat you in ping pong and that makes me better.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So that was Chris's number three, which is Prince versus Michael Jackson. I already did my number two, which was Rocky and Apollo. So going straight to Aaron with Aaron's number two.
Going to get my sports one out of the way here. Ravens versus Steelers, I think, is the greatest NFL sports rivalry. It doesn't, like I said, the biggest difference is like, you know, with the, you said during the Ohio State Michigan thing, like one point you made was like, even with all of the changes in personnel, like these two teams are still able to like maintain a rivalry. I think over time in the NFL, depending on how good or how bad another team is, what certain players they have playing in those rivalries, that they do change over time. But there was a sweet spot in like the mid-2000s, early 2000s to the mid-2000s, where the Steelers-Ravens was must-watch football. Dirty, hard-hitting, 7-9 finish football. And these teams fucking hated each other. You have the roster. You got Ed Reed, and you got Ray Lewis, and you got Terrell Suggs, and Haley Onyata, and you have all of these. And then on the other side, James Harrison, Troy Polamalu, Ike Taylor, like, you know, Ben Roethlisberger versus Joe Flacco. This was the rivalry. I kind of wanted to make my list like the Steelers versus every team in the AFC North, because while I don't really consider the Browns or Bengals like a rivalry, those games still mean a lot when they play because of how much hatred runs through the AFC North. Like it is the hood of the NFL. This shit is on site. If I see you at the Bellagio, you know what I'm saying? And I'm on the Ravens and you're on the Browns. It's on site in the lobby, dude. So while I'm going to chill on this right now, those Ravens Steelers games were crazy. They were always fun. And it's not only like a really long running bad blood rivalry. They played important. They played AFC championships against each other. They played big important games at the end of the regular season, in the playoffs and all that. But just like a sort of honorable mention to how much bad blood runs through the AFC North in general. So yeah, that's me, my number two, Steelers Ravens, but an extension to every team in the AFC North versus each other.
Yeah, I think the fact that both teams were really good for a really long time is the key there, because you're right, like I like the Browns and Steelers, like the fans like get mad at each other, but like the teams didn't really seem to care all that much for a long time. It's only like once you start having repeated key matchups, that's when it starts to really matter. Like it doesn't even have to be in the division in football, because every football game is so important that like the Bills and Chiefs have a rivalry right now, and they might play each other once a year or once every 2 years. But the fact that they're in the division and they kept clashing for those really important games makes that like a really big rivalry. Like I think football is uniquely suited to that because every game is so important. Like I mean it could happen in baseball if the teams are good enough every year that they're playing in the playoffs, but the fact that if you lose one NFL game, like that's a big deal. And if you keep coming up against the same team in those situations, that just takes it up another level. So I think of the Steelers rivals, I think the Ravens would be the biggest one because of just like the stakes of the matchups they've had over the last like 20 years or so.
And it is really funny, true stat, the Ravens are 1-7 against Pittsburgh in their last 8 matchups, which is really crazy because it feels like the Browns and the Bengals are getting more, you know, are fucking the Steelers up more consistently in the last 4 or 5 years than the Ravens have even been able to touch. And the Ravens have been
winning the division every year, but they can't beat the Steelers. Yeah.
But like they literally can't beat the Steelers at all. And like the Browns are out here fucking, you know, injuring us and, you know, vice versa. The Bengals are out here. These games are serious, but like the Ravens Steelers, that was always the one where it was like, I know if we're going to make the Super Bowl this year, the Ravens were going to have to go through in the playoffs at one point, just magnified it pretty hard. So my favorite sports rivalry, cool being a part of it. Steelers, Ravens, number two, not the Browns, Alan.
Yeah, no, I was finishing. I had a mouthful of peach, Aaron.
Right? I'm sorry, dude. I actually feel bad. No, I'm really sorry, dude. I didn't know you were on. I didn't know you were on peach mouth.
I was having a snack. Really quick. Is that okay? Is that okay with you, you fucking idiot? God.
Stop making
the Ravens. The
Stop
Ravens.
Making me feel
not
bad.
The Browns.
I love you so much. Stop yelling at me.
The rivalry there would not be the Browns versus the Steelers. It would be Aaron versus Allen, which I assume we're just saving for number one.
In Aaron the versus Allen, Dave, Bloodbath, and this guy named Lane I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do fucking hate Lane, though.
Yeah.
Great guy. But man, yeah. Too many Browns
big,
memes on Facebook, Lane. Chilling down, Lane. Big fan
no,
of the show, Lane.
I get the Steelers are rivals with a lot of teams because they've taken a lot of L's. Because
they just suck.
From
people
AFC.
Hate
that's exactly
us.
Right.
They don't
exactly
suck.
Right,
but shut the fuck. They don't
you guys,
suck.
You guys
everybody hates us because we're good
then,
all the time.
And then you take L's in the playoffs.
You like, know what?
And that's why you have rivalries with the
you know
Jaguars
what?
And
Browns,
and
Browns,
the
Steelers.
Titans.
That's my new answer. Browns, Steelers, new answer. Dave, why don't you bring up that record over the last 20 years for
that's
us,
fine.
Real quick?
I take
Browns.
Sorry, the sorry, Google doesn't work anymore. So I'm gonna have to just go from memory where I think that it's like Browns 682 to maybe three or four.
I think the Browns beat the Steelers 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah. Yeah. That's gotta be huge for you guys. I think this is what's very funny though. And we can move on. I promise. But I think it's very funny that Dave can talk. Dave and Alan can say shit about my penis, my mother, my dead relatives. And it's all off my shoulder, dude. Don't care. The minute Bloodbath says one fucking thing about the Steelers, I lose my fucking mind. You ain't been there, Bloodbath. You don't deserve to talk shit. You ain't been through it like Alan and Dave been through it.
That's right. So,
that's
okay.
Right.
Aaron's number two, Steelers versus Ravens in football. And moving on to Alan, and Alan's number two.
All right. I got to find my list. Hang on. I moved it.
My thought is every time Alan finishes an answer, he crumples up his list into a ball and tosses it over his shoulder.
Yeah.
Finds a peach.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
It was peach incredibly hungry.
Oh, that's funny.
Is this my number two?
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. My number two is a long-time rivalry, and I know all of us have taken part in this rivalry at one point or another, and that is cheese dip versus guac.
Ooh,
you know, I mean, everybody ooh, always ooh. Gets salsa, but, yeah. You know, sometimes you make a choice. You don't want to get all three, but you don't just want salsa, that shitty, watery salsa. You want something else, and you're gonna get guac or cheese dip, and I feel like there are two teams.
That's weird. Me and cheese dip go way back, but
yeah.
So I'm like a new guacamole guy. It's
welcome aboard.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan of guac.
You're approaching 40 and you said, you know what, I'm gonna try an avocado. I'm ready.
Yeah.
I've
what's
read
this green stuff?
I've read
right,
a lot about
down,
it. All right, here's what I'm gonna say. Guacamole people like queso. Queso people like guacamole. But you do have to make the choice, one or the other. And for me personally, it's queso because you're already eating the chips. You've already, like, fucked the health end of things up. Like, just eat the fucking queso.
Yeah. You can, who are you kidding?
Right? I'm going to eat 15 tortillas worth of chips and drink a margarita. Like, just give me the queso.
Yeah. Exactly. Also, key factor here is guacamole, very easy to make at home, very easy to make, taste really fucking good at home. Queso dip, I don't want to deal with that. Like, guacamole, you just cut a bunch of stuff up, smash it all together, it's good. Queso, I don't want to deal with that. Most restaurant guacamole is not as good as what I can make in like 15 minutes at my house. I don't fuck with making queso dip, though. There's black magic in there. I cannot make queso dip as good as like your neighborhood, like C-minus level Mexican restaurant. So right. I'm on team queso dip when I go to a restaurant.
Skin's the wrong color, Dave. Let's just be honest. We'll say it. You don't have the essence. You don't have the sweat.
I don't have it in my blood. Yeah.
It's not pumping in your blood. There's a next level. Like, they don't even think about it. They just walk in the kitchen. And it's just like beautiful queso.
But I put chorizo in it.
Oh yeah, that's probably the key.
Ooh, or like little pieces of shrimp. Ooh.
Mm-hmm. So like when I make, like, I've made queso dip before, where it's like you mix a jar of salsa and a block of Velveeta together. But that's not what we're talking about here. Like I'll fuck that up too. Let's not act like I'm better than that. But like the queso dip that you get at, like I said, your friendly neighborhood 3.5 star on Google Maps Mexican restaurant.
Oh yeah, El Sombrero.
Yeah. Yeah. Put me on team queso in the forever war. Just kidding.
Cozumel Express is delightful.
I was gonna use Chi-Chi's as my answer. I was like, I've never had a bad experience at Chi-Chi's, my guy.
Yeah,
Chi-Chi's is out of business, Aaron. All right,
now they are. R.I.P.
because of Aaron.
Chi-Chi's and Carl Weathers. No, if anything, I was keeping Chi-Chi's going. Let's not.
Yeah, you ate them out of house.
I never had Chi-Chi's.
Maybe we should get we should try and get like El Vaquero to sponsor the podcast. We can all get some free queso.
What's El Vaquero?
It's like a chain around here of Mexican restaurants. We'll just get La Fiesta to sponsor it. We'll get free choripollo for every episode in the mail.
Yeah, I know like three people that come into the liquor store that work there, dude. Who knows?
There you go. Hook us up.
Pat them up.
Bloodbath will speak Spanish on an ad read.
I'll do it for three chips.
Brought to you by
Muy.
He nailed it.
Yep.
Biblioteca.
Correct. All right.
Pretty much nailed that. Yeah.
Well, more library. That was Alan's number two, queso versus guac. And Bloodbath, what's your number two?
All right. My number two is Germans versus the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hold on, let me put on my comfy shoes again.
No, I'm not going to give Aaron the satisfaction. You know what I'm going to say? Decepticons versus Autobots.
Good answer.
I mean, they're both more that meets the eye, and yet somehow they can't find harmony. I don't know what their competing ideologies are, why they're at war, but... Decepticons, to me, are Republican, and Autobots are more Democratic-leaning, libertarian mindsets. Optimus Prime has a gun that he fires, and he is also a semi-truck representing blue-collar union employees.
Okay, and the other side?
Filibuster.
Don't think I didn't notice you casually throwing in more than meets the eye in there, too, Bloodbath.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We go tit for tat. You know, we're both men of the law. Whatever respect you think that you're getting from me is completely misplaced.
Yeah. You win some, I win some.
I feel like I've made myself completely redundant. Yeah.
Yes, you have.
But yeah, no, legit, like, Decepticons First, dude. Autobots. I haven't watched a single Transformers movie, and I never will. But, like, I watched the cartoon when I was little. I was more into Beast Wars because, like, I was born, you know, in the 80s, so, like, I was a 90s kid. But, like, you know, Optimus Prime, Optimus Primal. Coincidence? I think not.
That sexy spider bot?
That was just lazy writing, yes. And she, like, switched teams. She was a bad guy, then she became a good guy.
Can't get better than that.
Charlie versus the lawyer would have been a really funny.
Oh, a great rivalry. Yeah.
So good. What did I think of that? My number one is really good, though.
Like, yeah, I like right. Filibuster.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't know enough about Transformers to say why. What's good about the rivalry?
I feel like good side, bad side. I feel like Alan should know something about Transformers.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know much about Transformers. I do know that Optimus Prime was probably like a Teamsters guy, but yeah, I don't know anything else about them.
Well, if that's all you know, then I think that's good enough. And I think that's our cue to move on. So that was Bloodbath's number three, which is the Autobots versus the Decepticons. And the real world allegory there. So, Chris, what's your number two?
My number two is John Dorian versus the janitor.
Oh, man, perfect.
Great, great answer.
Started off with a penny and a door and ended with, I don't quite remember how it ended, but it's a classic rivalry throughout the entire show. Like 30% of the good bits in that show are the janitor involved.
Yeah, agreed.
So that one's my number two. I don't really have too much more to say about it other than it's just really good comedy that's based on those two.
Favorite episode of Scrubs? Go.
I don't remember the name of it, but it's kind of the sad one where Brendan Fraser is it's like
I like
really
the musical one.
Yeah, that one's good too.
The musical one was funny because it's guy love
between two. Oh, I thought you were gonna harmonize. My bad.
Aaron, no. Aaron and Alan can attest to this, that my roommate in college watched so much fucking Scrubs I could never watch it again. Like, it hurts my fucking head. But I will say, maybe my girlfriend and I were like flipping through Hulu or something. Maybe even before, like, we moved in together, and like she started like rewatching Scrubs. Beyonce. She started rewatching. She, you know, she's like, oh, I've watched the show 100 times, and she started rewatching it because she's a nurse. She was like, this is like, I'm just saying, I know it's been said before. Like, she is like, she said, like, this is like the most accurate. For as fantastic as it gets, like, that is like the most accurate like representation of like what it feels like to work in a hospital.
Yeah, that's what
I know. I've heard that from a lot of people too, but I'm just reiterating that, I guess, like, that is what I hear a lot. And she said it is very much like that level of dark humor or just the shift in tone from the beginning of your shift here and to the end of your shift, and how people kind of cope with that. So, interesting for sure.
Does anybody else have a two TV character rivalry on their lists coming up at all?
No.
Cool. Cause I like this idea of like TV show, like sitcom rivalries. You know, I like JD versus the janitor, somebody like Charlie versus, you know, Bugs Bunny versus Elmer Fudd, or like, you know, Jerry versus Newman. You know, I think any good sitcom has a rivalry with one of the main characters in the show. So I really like this answer, and you've done it twice now. Chris, where you have brought in new realms of rivalries that I didn't even think about when I was putting my list together, you know, music rivalries and like, you know, TV sitcom rivalries. I love this answer, and I think it is a trope that is seen in almost every successful, you know, comedic television show too. So I really like this answer, man.
Charlie Kelly versus the English language.
Yeah, versus literacy. Yeah.
It always fascinates me, just kind of the, I mean, you got like, even in that 70s show, Red and Bob, and there's always like that kind of foil character that that just builds really good comedy.
Yeah.
With you, man.
Yeah. Jerry and Newman is a great shout. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was surprised at the Simpsons rivalry that you chose earlier.
Oh, yeah. There's like multiple other Simpsons rivalries
that
could be there.
Marge versus alcoholism.
Woof. All right. So that was Chris's number three, which was, or number two, which was JD and the janitor on Scrubs, which is great. Great, just continuous joke throughout the story. So on to number ones, and my number one rivalry of all time actually is a TV rivalry, and I forgot that it's TV because it's not just in TV. This is multimedia, baby. Number one is Ash Ketchum versus Gary Oak.
Hell yeah.
Oh, shit.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah. So Pokemon, big part of my life, obviously, since I was a kid. Pokemon, one of the central pillars of every Pokemon game, and thus probably every Pokemon anime series and everything like that, is the rivalry between your character and like this local asshole. In the newer games, the rival characters, like,
he do suck though.
The rival character in the newer games, like, less of a dick and more of like a, like, down on their luck person who just like wants to be good, but they'll never be as good as you, so they're sad about it. But back in the day, of Gary Oak or the rival in Gold and Silver, it was just like, you know, this kid lives across the street. We grew up in a house, or we grew up in a town with two families living in it. He's in the other family and he's a dick. So he's my rival.
Gary's a dick.
Yeah.
Well, in the anime, wasn't he just like way better than Ash?
He was always ahead of Ash. He wasn't necessarily better, but he was always ahead of him. He had like a sports car. He had like cheerleaders and shit following him around.
Yeah, fucking perfectly sculpted abs and ass that wouldn't quit. I'm with you, Dave. I would have hated Gary too, man.
Yeah. He had cheerleaders. You don't remember that from the original Pokemon series?
You gotta think Gary, about
this. He's our man. If he can't do it, no one can.
And it's one of those things that it's so easy to latch onto as a kid, because Pokemon came out like, what, we were in like fifth, sixth grade, something like that. So every kid had a guy at their school. They're just like, why does everybody like that guy so much? That dude is such a fucking prick, right?
Yeah, and then Pokemon, all three of those guys do a podcast with me now.
Yeah. Yeah. And now that person's Bert Kreischer, but straight up, dude, like I just terrible, by the way. I hate that guy. While we're here, you know,
he's coming on the show next week.
That sucks, dude. He's going to be fucking blasted before we start. But I like this answer, Dave. My number one is also a pretty big video game rivalry. And I think it just hits you better when you're a kid, because like, I'm 26 years old. If I played Pokemon Red today and Gary was just like, oh, I'm going to be a better Pokemon master than you, my initial reaction would be like, well, you better not sleep, Gary, because I'm not going to, and I'll kill you. But back when I was like 12 years old, I was like, stupid Gary with his fucking hot cheerleaders and his goddamn Pokemon that's the opposite of mine, so he's stronger than me in battle. I hate that guy. I like this answer, Dave.
Oh, dude, did you know that in the new games, your rival doesn't take the Pokemon that's like the stronger type than yours? They take the one that's weak to yours, which is real stupid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It is too. Instant gratification. That's all video games are.
Yeah, these kids and their participation trophies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Damn, my number one is parents versus participation trophies. That sucks.
All right, so that's my number one, Ash versus Gary. So, Aaron, what's your number one?
Short and quick. Every good rivalry, if it's not a team-based thing, it's a good guy versus a bad guy. To me, this is the ultimate good guy versus bad guy rivalry, and that's going to be Link versus Ganon. I love Zelda, and Zelda's been one of those things that's been in my life for basically ever. I think I played my first Zelda game when I was like 6, and I played my most recent Zelda game 6 months ago. You know, so this is, and you could even like, you know, broaden it if you know a little bit about the game and say Ganon versus the hero of time or whatever. But to me, this is the ultimate good guy versus bad guy. I had a lot floating through my mind video game wise for this. You know, I was thinking, you know, I'm not going to, just in case I spoil anybody else's, but like, this was the one where I was like, I have played, like, out of all of the games that I played, there's maybe one other video game rivalry that I could say is like that has. I don't know that I've played enough games to consider them as big, but Legend of Zelda is maybe my favorite video game series of all time, and it's pretty much always the same. It's Link or the Hero of Time versus Ganon or Ganondorf. It's kind of always pretty much like the same setup, but every single Zelda game, aside from a couple, final battle, you versus Ganondorf. Oh, you beat Ganondorf. Now you gotta face Ganon, you know? So to me, this is not only the biggest rivalry in terms of like good guy versus bad guy, but I also think maybe the biggest video game rivalry of all time. I've about hit my minute, but this was the very first thing that popped into my head when we were doing this top three. And I think it is the most relevant, you know, because I'm still playing Zelda games. So my number one, Link versus Ganon.
It is kind of just like the absolute personification of like good and evil, like the light and the dark, because like they don't ever try to have you, I mean very little try to have you like sympathize with Ganondorf at all. He's always just the big bad, and mm-hmm. you don't ever have to, I mean, as a kid and even as an adult, sometimes it's really easy for things to just be real cut and dry. You're the hero of time. You're fighting against Ganondorf. You're saving the princess. And there's just that, like, the iconography of the three of them, you know, fitting in with the Triforce and all that. It's just, it makes for a real simple story, but one that you can just, like, whole-throatedly scream that you dislike Ganondorf at.
Yeah, they don't make it challenging at all. Every single game starts with Ganon doing something fucked up, you waking up as a 12-year-old boy, and your goal is to stop him, you know? So, I like I said, I had to pick it out of all the good guy versus bad guy, you know, things I could have thought of. This was the, you know, this was the quintessential good guy versus bad guy rivalry to me.
Yeah, it's a good one. I wouldn't think, like, I think there's probably one or two video game rivalries that are like bigger than this one, but this is, I mean, it's been going on long enough that it's definitely one of like the top ones for sure. So I didn't think of this one actually, even when I was thinking of video game stuff, but like it definitely fits. Like it's been going on forever. They face off in most Zelda games, not all of them, but most of them. And certainly the ones that would follow like the traditional kind of like story setup, it's always this. So it's a good pick.
Nothing better than a good Link versus Ganondorf Smash Brothers fight. And I'll tell you, I have softened on my views of Ganondorf as somebody I want to. I love using Ganondorf now. Just FYI.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're playing, you know, 1v1v1v1 and let all the fast characters do their thing and just come in and just do that. Yeah. And just kill all of them at one time. Ganon's great at that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or you can see it too. The front kick to the back kick, and they pop up above your head. Up smash two people at one time. Ganon is fun. Ganondorf is fun as fucking Smash Brothers. Slow, but fun.
Makes sense. All right. Well, that was Aaron's number one, Link versus Ganon. Alan, what's your number one rivalry?
My number one rivalry is, this is my weird one. There are a lot of people involved in this. it is the 90s home run hitters in baseball. So the 90s was the era of the home run. And I have a sincere appreciation for all the guys just out there stroking them for us to watch. You know, I mean, so I'm talking your Mark McGuire
stroking and absolute computers. Dongs,
just dongs all day in the 90s. But yeah, I mean, there were a lot of guys hitting a lot of home runs. It made baseball a ton of fun, and so every year it seemed like there was a home run race. And I know it's weirdly enough now in the home run derby, I don't know what happened, but now it seems like we're hitting dozens of home runs every round in the home run derby. But home run derbies used to be exciting and not just like, I don't know if they're hitting them with air cannons or something. But anyway, 90s home run guys, big fan.
So who do you put in that group, Alan? Who's in your group?
Well, you got your McGuire and your Griffey and your Bonds, obviously. Obviously, you have to toss in Albert Bell. I don't think that there's much of an argument. Sammy Sosa.
He had Rafael that, what Palmeiro. Was it,
97. Yeah, Rafael Palmeiro. Yeah,
Canseco. There.
Uh-huh. One Frank of these Thomas, things.
Fred McGriff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the crime dog.
David dude. Justice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Before he went to the A's and played well for the A's. My favorite part of all of this was watching them all talk in front of the Supreme Court. But Alan is right. It made, dude, 90s baseball was magical before we had legislation and those slimy DC pricks getting involved in America's pastime. But I love this answer, dude, because it was literally every year. Somebody's breaking a record or somebody's getting close to breaking a record. And there's two or three of them. I love this answer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Of sure those, McGuire versus Sosa is the one that stands out the most to me. But I mean, they were in the same division too. So.
So it's like that's a throwback to that Simpsons episode too, with, I think it ends with Sosa and McGuire. And they're like, do you want us to explain the situation or watch us hit some dingers? And everyone just screams dingers,
dingers, dingers.
Yeah, this is a good true pick. However, Alan, you are wrong. The home run derby fucking rules now. Like there was a long time where the home run derby was not that exciting, but like they figured out a format that makes it great. But on the other hand, you don't have like Ken Griffey Jr. busting out windows in the building across the street from Camden Yards anymore. But the event is still a great time.
Best home run ever hit
before the game.
Adley was in the Adley Rutschman was in the home run derby last year, and his dad pitched to him. Fucking beautiful moment, man. Home run derby still cool. No, dude. Obviously, he got the second best score. I don't know how they used to. He got the second best score, but the guy he was going up against got the first best. He would have beaten anybody else. It was very sad, but it was cool.
Yeah, magical time for baseball. And it's weird now. Like, I think the guy who led the league in home runs last year hit like 50 something, but then in this era you're talking about, all those guys hit 50 every single year. And I feel like we should just let people do steroids responsibly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean,
at least two or three of them, right?
Yeah, just a little as a treat.
You got to be 18, right? Like that's you know, I mean, like and I fair. Even I fucking hate the Yankees and I fucking hate Aaron Judge, but when he was chasing that record, I was tuning into every one of his at bats, streaming illegally at work so I could see it. That is the best part of baseball, and we've said that 10 fucking times already. It makes baseball, but the home run is perfect. And when people are chasing home run titles and records, especially when they're competing with each other, baseball's at its best.
Yeah, absolutely. The people want dongs. They want to see dongs. So,
Dong City, bitch.
That's and right. All right. So that is Alan's number one, which is 90s hitters in baseball going up against each other, home run hitters. So, Bloodbath, what's your number one?
All right. Listen here. My number one is every NFL team that ever defeats the Steelers. Because it upsets Aaron Engel so much. Now, let me preface this by saying, I love Aaron. Aaron, you are truly one of my best friends. I love you like a brother. I hope one day I get to, like, fully
be my midwife.
I get to see your penis in real life, and I get to behold it and take it in. I appreciate you. You're a beautiful human being. But every time a team beats the Steelers, it makes me so happy.
I'm getting hard right now, Bloodbath. If you think this is making me upset, dude, you are fucking wrong.
I guess I'd say I'm a Browns fan. Like, you know, and whenever the Browns beat the Steelers, I know it's kind of like a long shot, and I always, like, really like chaps Aaron's ass. But, I mean, anybody that beats the Steelers, I mean, like, if, you know, whatever the worst ranked team that year is, if they happen to beat the Steelers, I'm just like, oh, dude. Why did you, like, get out of bed this morning? You shouldn't have just, like, given up. It's so good. It's so salty. He gets so upset sometimes. I just love it, man. Like, anytime. Because, like, it's not just an Aaron thing. I just think the Steelers are obnoxious. And Steelers fans are obnoxious. But I love Aaron. Ooh, with all my heart. Ooh,
I'm popping off my shirt. Goddamn. Anybody else hot? Anybody else getting sweaty and erect? I got to tell you, Bloodbath, like, I don't think, I think, like, obviously I'm a sports fan, so I get, you know, I get my ass chapped when the Steelers lose, but Steelers have won two Super Bowls in my life. If there is any one of my favorite sports teams that don't really fight, like, you're right, when they lose to the Browns, I'm mad because I got to deal with you. But, like, for the most part, I'm pretty cool when the Steelers lose. Your answer should have been any team that beats the Pelicans, because as Dave can attest, what really makes me fucking mad is when the Pelicans lose. And that is just the truth. That is just, I am not as big of an asshole as I am to Dave, the nicest and best human being that I know. I am a fucking asshole to hit when the Lakers beat the Pelicans, dude. It is a different thing. I respect this. Steelers fans are terrible, much like Ohio State fans. If your team has a historical, you know, track of success, people are going to hate you. And I get that. I get that. Like, you know what I mean? When the Patriots lost, that made me hard. When I saw the Lakers lose last night and I was like, fuck yeah, dude. Fuck LeBron, even though I like him. You know what I mean? So I understand that, like, innate passion, that innate hater in you wanted to get your rocks off to a team that you find their team and fan base fucking obnoxious as shit, and watching them lose. Oh my God, when Duke lost to UNC the other week and, like, the Duke fans were, like, saying all those fucked up things, I was like, good. Good. Nothing makes me happier than seeing a Duke fan mad. So I get where you're coming from, but Bloodbath, I'm telling you, you want to hurt me in the future, for real. Talk about the Pelicans losing. Nothing makes me more... Dude, nothing makes me matter.
I can't, because...
You hate basketball.
Literally, our group... No, dude, our group chat is so much of you talking about the Pelicans. It's almost sometimes I feel like you're a Pokemon. Like,
you feel bad.
You're just walking around going, Pelicans, 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 Pelicans. Like, and I work with you, man. So, like, sometimes I'll be behind the register and I'll watch you, like, stocking the shelves, and I'm like, you know, you're walking back and forth, and I'm like, I bet your internal monologue is just like, Pelicans, Pelicans. Pelicans, Pelicans, Pelicans.
It's close. Pelicans. Yeah, it's close.
Pelicans, Pelicans. Yeah, it is. It Pelicans, is pretty Pelicans, close. Pelicans. I think that I can expand this answer out. Not to take any attention away from hating on Aaron specifically, but, like, you can take
Sure.
Yeah, you can take this and expand it out into a rivalry between you and a friend when sports are involved, and, like, just your endless desire to watch your friend who you love with your entire heart eat shit when sports are involved.
He's so sad and bad, dude. Oh, it's like every time the Yankees don't make the playoffs, I'm like, oh, I hope Dave's crying. I hope his wife
thinks less of him as a man. Nothing personal about it, but like when the Pelicans lose, and I don't give a shit about the Pelicans.
Yeah, no,
like,
obviously.
But when the when I look up and I'm like, oh, the Pelicans lost to the Jazz. I'm like,
yeah, I know Aaron's mad as fuck right now. That dumb asshole.
So yeah, I get it.
Sports are beautiful, and this idea, Chris, has lent itself to some very funny sports interactions between us tonight. Thank you.
Yeah. So that was Bloodbath's number one, which is a semi-rivalry between himself and Aaron when sports and the Steelers are involved. So, Chris, let's finish this out. What's your number one?
All right. My number one is bone-in wings versus boneless wings.
Holy shit.
I'm just going to say one thing. It's a goddamn chicken nugget. It ain't a fucking wing. And that's all I have to say about it.
Ooh,
I'd still choose it.
Yeah, like I'm cool with both, but like let me ask you, the real chicken wing question is, are you a drum or a flat guy? This is the real rivalry, I think, here. Like obviously bone-in's way better. Like let's not talk about that, but like what is better, flats or drums, Chris?
I go drums unless you got the full like wing, like with the little pointy bit at the end when they come out and they're like whole.
Oh yeah.
So
there's skin to be had on that part, dude.
Yeah, you gotta chew that gristle.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. If you want to eat like an American, dude, you gotta get through the parts that are bad for you. I like this answer, but I also like both bone in and bone out wings. And some nights I'm just like, do I want my face to get messy in public, or do I not want my face to get messy in public? If that is not something that you think about, then obviously the bone in is better. But let's say you're on a date, you're at a sports bar. You want some fucking wings, dude. Are you going to let that woman think that you order like boneless wings? No, I want her to think I'm cool. Yeah. I don't care if I'm messy. They respond to that. They know you don't care.
Now, what's funny about this statement is, let's say that step further. Let's pretend you're out on a date with a girl. You order the bone-in wings. And you get messy, and then there's a stand-up comedian that starts doing the show, and you're in the front row, and they start looking at you being like, bro, you got wing sauce all over your face.
Oh,
you
dude, Bloodbath is bringing up some trauma. Yeah, that worst happened nightmare. To me. Oh, that was. I was on a date, and some stand-up comedian started making fun of me. They were like, hey, there's a comedy show going on. I was like, oh, okay, cool. And they're like, no, you have to move your table back 6 feet because it's right in front of you. And I was like, oh, no, I just ordered extra sauce bone-in wings. it was just this like really, really fucking cool black dude just shitting on me the whole show, and I'm just like, I'm just trying to bang a chick in a wheelchair, dude. Why are you making this hard on me? That was brutal.
There's lots unpacked there.
We could do a whole podcast on how fucked up I was after that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Aaron, you're just a circus of a human being.
I just be out here doing stuff, rooting for the Steelers, you know, getting the Master Sword.
This is what I
do,
dude. Yeah.
Yeah, what I do, man.
Put me on team boneless and team if whoever I'm on a hypothetical date with is gonna like not go out with me again because I get boneless wings, then fucker, I'll didn't find someone who more didn't, wings didn't, for me. Shit.
Didn't eat her. So there is a good safe medium ground here. Everybody, which is you get your wings dry and get your dipping sauce on the side. That is how you solve both problems at one time.
No, you don't. You get chicken tenders. The kids meal chicken tenders.
Tenders so aren't
they
even
think
in
that
the,
you're a fucking adult.
Tenders aren't even in the fight.
Yeah, dude.
That is children's food.
No, tenders are better than boneless wings. Let's just
100%.
We have another episode to talk about this.
Yeah. But yeah, put me on team boneless. But if I have to go bone in, then give me the drumsticks because the flats are too much work.
You got to learn the technique.
I don't want to learn the technique. I want to eat.
That's a fair argument.
Yeah, he's not putting on a show. He's trying to survive.
Oh, you've never seen me eat bone and wings. I am putting on a show.
Yeah, straight up. This is how you know a girl's core. She watches you eat a flat, like dipped in blue cheese, and she's like, "All right, that man is for me." That's how I know it's love.
Evil love.
Yeah, because I put it in my butthole first, and then I eat it in front of her. It's how I show dominance. Most of course,
he learned it from his mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's that was a good mom joke. That was a good one. I ain't even bad. That was a good mom joke, Alan.
Very nice unexpected. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was good.
Got the element of surprise there. All right. So Chris's number one, which was boneless versus bone in wings, which was great. Great food rivalry, which I had not considered as a possibility. So let's get into our honorable mentions here. I've got a shitload of honorable mentions just to rattle them off. Yankees versus Red Sox, dogs versus cats, bloodbath versus his mute button, Tom versus Jerry, Mario versus Bowser, and then Dr. Evil versus Austin Powers.
Hell yeah, Dave. I have a quick list. Austin Powers versus Dr. Evil is on mine. Aaron versus Chris Nelson on Discord, another one of mine. Malcolm versus his brothers in Malcolm in the Middle, and Chicago style pizza versus New York style pizza. Those are my honorable mentions.
New York all the way.
Yeah, I don't know. I like mine I like it soupy. You know, I like to eat it with a spoon. It's just me.
You're like lasagna.
No, I don't.
Garfield. He's like Garfield. Now,
you don't like lasagna?
And what's your feelings on Mondays?
Weird.
Mondays are awesome because I don't have to work Mondays. Mondays are great.
Not a Garfield.
All right, confirmed not Garfield. Okay.
More of an Odie.
All right, Alan, honorable mentions.
My honorable mentions are Bugs Bunny and Elmer Fudd. Coyote and the Roadrunner, Michael Scott and Toby, Brown and Lucy,
Joe Burrow,
and the 17-game NFL season, bacon and sausage, and pancakes and waffles.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, pancake and waffle, a good one too, man. I gotta know. This is important. Are you guys pancake guys or waffle guys? This is important. I gotta know.
Yeah, waffle.
Yeah, waffle. Same. Yep.
It's more adaptable.
Unless there's blueberries in the pancake.
You put blueberries in waffles, bloodbath. It is really good.
Different beast.
All right, fair enough.
It is. Coke versus Pepsi. Drew Carey versus Mimi on the Drew Carey Show. Harry Potter versus Draco Malfoy.
Alan with a lot of ones better than what he said on the actual podcast. Alan could have created a dialogue. Instead, he's like, no, I got these peaches to eat.
Yep. That's our Alan. All right, bloodbath. Honorable mentions.
Skyline Chili versus a particular family from Maryland that all moved to Ohio and then has this huge fucking hang up about enjoying what I would say is the best local cuisine in the Midwest.
I just said Ohio chili v the world on that one, honestly, man.
Cincinnati style chili.
Very good.
Dave, remember when we saw Lamb of God opened for Metallica and the lead singer went on for like 5 minutes about how much he likes Cincinnati chili?
That's just good crowd work right there. You got to get the crowd on your side. If you're opening for Metallica, they don't want to see you.
His way in.
Yeah.
That guy went to jail.
Yeah. And, how to get fans to buy t-shirts 101.
Yeah. And Chris, honorable mention.
I don't have a whole bunch, but the 49ers versus the Cowboys that kind of ended in like the mid 2000s when neither team was good anymore.
Are you a Niners fan?
No, I'm a Vikings fan, but I just remember watching that a lot as like when it would have been like, 2000s era, like when Terrell Owens went and put his, his touchdown ball on the star.
And they hit him.
Yeah the second time.
Very cool.
And then Goku versus Cell, a throwback to kind of
great one.
The growing up. And this one's kind of obscure. Goosebumps versus the Michigan Chillers series. And has anybody even heard of those?
Yeah, hell yeah, I have, dude.
Goosebumps, but not the other one.
I never read a single book of theirs, but they were always at the fucking troll book fair, dude. You could always find one, man.
Yeah, it's kind of a real knockoff.
All right, Chris, I will challenge that. Goosebumps versus Graveyard School.
Yeah, I don't think I know Graveyard School.
Oh, dude, check those out. Those are really good.
Goosebumps versus the Animorphs. I feel like those were the two really big kids fictional series. Yeah, your
Scholastic Book Fairs, that was like that was what you were going in on. You were either getting an Animorph or Goosebumps or How to Draw Aliens.
Transformers versus Animorphs versus Street Sharks.
Coloring book versus 3D pop-up book. Yeah, what the fuck are we doing here, man? We didn't talk about books enough, bro.
That Bob was Aaron Evans in versus the ninth Cracker grade. Barrel.
Yeah, that was me at 27. Checkers versus chess. All right, I'll shut up.
All right. Okay, so that's all of our honorable mentions. Let's get into our listener top threes for this one. And we got quite a few, once again, from the Discord server. Again, I forgot to post the topic on our Facebook and Instagram pages. So if you want to, like, guarantee that you can take part in this, make sure you join our Discord server. There's an invite link down in the show notes. And not only is it the place to send in your listener top threes, but it's also just a cool place to hang out because the internet is dark and full of terrors. And our Discord server is well lit and full of terrors. So I'll get us started with Chris C, who's a patron from the Retro Hangover podcast. What up, Chris? Chris did not send a complete list, so I helped him out here. Chris's number three is his nudist lifestyle versus his HOA. That's his number three.
Yeah. Get it, Chris.
His number two is his fist versus Alan's stomach. Good rivalry there.
Yeah. Damn. I was going to say, what you're saying is he likes breaking his fist. Got it.
Where is Chris C? Were you at Chris C?
His number one is that team up north versus Ohio State.
This is why I don't that team up north, man. Just say the fucking name, you coward. I know they beat you, but say the name. Dave said it. He didn't say that team up north.
That's part of the fun of the rivalry.
I guess I'll take it from the guy that went to that team down south. Next up, we have Ryan, a patron. Thank you for your money from the List Off podcast. What up, Ka? Number three, Reed Richards versus Dr. Doom. I get that, but I won't explain it because I'll talk about it for 20 minutes. Number two is Mario versus Bowser. Great. Number one, Rock v. Paper v. Scissors. Great answer, Ryan.
Good one.
I love that one.
Next up is Randall, a patron, whose number three is the Lakers versus the Celtics. Number two is Mario versus Sonic. And number one is Subaru versus Audi in rally racing. Randall didn't even have an honorable mention. Come on, Randall, you're a patron. You pretty much get to decide what our answers are.
Yeah, you can tell us what we win.
Randall.
You can tell us how to be naked. If you give us $2, we'll be naked. Randall,
that's
take it.
Right.
When did they start fighting with one another, like Mario and Sonic? When did they become, they were like cross-platform rivals, I guess, initially.
Yeah, right?
Rivals because it's a Nintendo versus Sega rivalry.
I gotcha. Okay.
They're the mascots. And then they made games where they didn't. Olympic sports. Each other, yeah.
So. Yeah. You got the running pad. Yeah, that was very funny.
All right, next up we have Jake, a Patreon from the pre-order bonus podcast. Cats v. Dogs, number three. You versus yourself, coming in the number two spot there. And chicken versus egg. This is number one.
You versus yourself is a very good answer.
Yeah, the rivalry of me versus myself.
Should I not eat a sleeve of Thick Newtons? Is pretty much what he said right there.
Yeah,
every time.
Chris, you've got Matt.
Is chicken versus egg a rivalry?
No. That's why he's not going to win.
Maybe the debate.
The debate. Fair. Yeah.
Okay, so I get Matt, aka Stormageddon. Hey, Matt, patron. host of Fun and Games podcast. Number three is free time versus workaholism. I'm a procrastinator, so I get that. Scott Pilgrim versus the League of Evil Exes, and Cloud versus Sephiroth. I think everybody's feeling that one right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same. I think it's a recency bias thing. Yeah. Yeah. I also almost put that on my list.
Free time versus workaholism. The person who does 3+ podcasts would know nothing about that. So I don't know where you're coming from here, Matt.
Yeah. I feel like free time wins every time to me. I don't know.
Next up is Snacktaku, who's a patron. Thank you, Snacktaku. Number three, Ford versus Ferrari. Number two, Aaron versus reality. Number one, Mars Bars versus Snickers, and an honorable mention to Nikola Tesla versus Thomas Edison. Mars Bars versus Snickers. That sounds like a European thing to me.
Yeah, that sounds like Babe Ruth versus, you know, Aaron Judge, like different eras, man. Next up, we have Jeff, formerly Jerf, a patron, and I hate him. Number three, Batman versus Joker. Never heard of those. Marbury versus Madison. I think I know what that means, but I'm not going to talk about it in case I'm wrong, Jerf. Number one, Michigan. He said it. He's not scared to say it. Versus Ohio State. In parentheses, honorable mention, laying down versus standing up. Bart versus Sideshow Bob. Great answer. Scopes versus Tennessee. I don't care. Biggie versus Tupac. Great answer. Adidas versus Puba, which is, I just learned about right there. And Mario versus Wario. Jerf is a well-read, smart person who reads more than me, is what I will take from this list.
Yeah, safe to assume.
Next up is Doug, a patron and participant of some kind in the Nostalgia Arcanum podcast. Number three, UCLA versus USC. Number two, Jedi versus Sith, and number one, PC versus Mac. Honorable mention, Bart Simpson versus authority figures. Eat my shorts. That's a good rivalry.
Yeah, Jedi versus Sith is a good answer too. We didn't think of
Bart versus Principal Skinner.
Yeah, Bart versus Sideshow Bob. Not an authority figure, but if he's got a knife, he kind of is.
Yeah, kind of. I think holding a knife like that gives you authority automatically. Authority,
correct.
Yeah.
Let's not. I'll talk for 30 minutes. Let's not.
All right, next up we have Rick, a Patreon from the Pixel Project Radio. Number three, Macho Man Randy Savage versus Hulk Hogan. Number two, Timmy Turner's dad versus Dingleberg.
Dingleberg!
That's a good answer. That is. And number one, Aaron versus the world, which I gotta say, it's pretty legit.
I like that there are multiple Aaron V stuff, and I'm like, good.
Yeah. Good. So I was gonna say, Aaron, according to our esteemed patrons, Aaron has a rivalry versus the world and versus reality itself.
It's hard to call it a rivalry when I'm winning both of them. Next up, we have Will.
Chris is next.
Next up, we have Will.
Damn it.
Had a good joke. I came past. His number three is Dante versus Virgil from the Devil May Cry series. Number two, New Yorkers versus anyone not from New York. Hey, I'm walking here. Number one, human resources versus fun. I think Will has sat in on a lot of meetings.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Will.
And honorable mention to Scots versus Scots. I don't know where that
He put a picture of Groundskeeper Willie when he said that.
Oh. Okay. So Scottish people hate each other as much as Americans do. Got it. Nice.
Next up is Tomahawk. Tomahawk says, number three, Solid Snake versus Liquid Snake. Fun rivalry between them. Number two, Sonic versus Shadow. And number one, Super Earth / Democracy versus Terminids / Automatons. And I totally understand about number one, but like Aaron said, we gotta make time here, so we're gonna move on.
Next up, we have Chris Taylor, not a patron. That's pretty weird, dude. From the Lightning Strikes Thrice podcast. Their number three is the Union versus the Confederacy. And then in quote says, if you know, you know. That's pretty good. That's super fucking weird, Chris. Number two is baseball hats versus beanies. Hey, man, we all go there. But if you're wearing a baseball hat, I don't like you. Number one, Chris V. Matt. I'm going to assume he's referring to Stormageddon, and I'm going to go ahead and throw my hat in that ring. I hate Matt.
Boo.
No, I don't. Matt's good peoples. Matt's good peoples. But while we're here, and now that you all have 2 hours, let's talk about the Union v. the Confederacy, because it's been on my chest, the tips of my chest hair all night.
No, the hook's coming in. The hook's it's pulling him off the stage.
I like also how we have in our like in our Discord server and in our network, there are like fucking 19 people named Chris, and there's like 7 people named Matt. So make any combination of them and put them together, make a rivalry.
And fight.
Next up is Artful Scruff, whose number three is video games versus sleeping, whose number two is Montague v. Capulet, and number one is your life goals versus the inevitable heat death of the universe. Well, Artful Scruff, you got to get your life goals done well before the inevitable heat death of the universe.
That's right.
Well,
I got a double blow job when I was 25, and I can just live the rest of my life being okay. I do like Montague versus Capulet, a good Shakespeare reference when there aren't really enough of them to go around on this podcast. Bloodbath. I got that double BJ out the way, dude. So I'm just eating Cheez-Its until I die now. So.
All right, next up we have Thrack from the 3DO Experience podcast. Number three is Coke v. Pepsi. Number two, Nintendo versus Sega. And number one, WCW versus WWF.
Those wrestling rivalries were intense.
Nintendo, Sega, and Coke, Pepsi. That's intense. These are big Mount Rushmore ones.
That I like also, that also reminded me, and no one said it, and it's not on any of the listener response lists, but Backstreet Boys versus NSYNC, similar era, similar fervor to the rivalry.
The 90s were all about rivalries and advertising, dude. You had to, if you know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next up we have Jodecahedron. Number three, Ash versus Gary Oak. Talked about that one. Another Coke versus Pepsi at number two. And then number one, Nintendo versus Sega, because Sega do what Nintendo don't.
I like a Duda.
Duda. Cha-cha.
Cha-cha.
So I said that the other day at work, and the girl I was working with did not know what I was talking about, and so I had to explain to her what Bruce Almighty was, and then explain that scene that I explained to her who Steve Carell was. It was an experience
This is what movies were in 2003.
At what point did her eyes glaze over and she start drooling?
Yeah. The minute we stop paying her, she's there to listen to me talk about that.
That's the way she always looks, though, you know.
All right, next up is John H. with no H. Number three, Yankees versus Red Sox, especially in the early 2000s. Hell yeah, Aaron Boone, my hero.
Go Aaron Boone.
Number two, Palpatine versus the Jedi Council. Number one, tired parents versus energetic children. And honorable mention to Batman versus the Joker.
Number one hits hard.
Number one is not a rivalry because without the, it's all about love, dude. I haven't been getting high. Next up, we have C-Reg, my good friend. Number three, OSU versus Michigan. Also wasn't scared to say Michigan. Number two, good versus evil. Well, you know, what is good and what is evil? But I get what you're saying, Craig. Number one, Kirby. Kirby versus Meta Knight, which is very, very funny because Craig's a big Kirby guy, so this should. Honorable mention, Food versus Rat Boy's GI system. I'm going to go ahead and take it. Gastrointestinal? Am I right?
Correct.
Correct.
This is very works, guys. Indiana, guys. Actually. It's very Indiana.
Still working.
That's right. Grape. I don't care. I got that right. Guys, the drugs, they haven't hurt me yet.
Correct.
Well, finally, I think we have Rat Boy, longtime listener of the show and host of the Rat Hour podcast, which I don't know where you can find it. You'll have to ask someone.
Number Blood three. Red's mad coming back, man.
Yeah, you have to ask at your local police station.
Number three, Rat Boy verse this entire universe, all caps, everybody, all caps. Number two, Ohio State versus Michigan, and he wrote out Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, Rat versus the English language.
I do fuck get yeah.
that sometimes. Mm-hmm. And then honorable,
rat,
honorable
fail mention, rat fail English that impossible.
I was going to say when he said that I was going to be like Rat Boy versus that time your teacher calls on you to read the next paragraph.
dude, that was so much anxiety when I was a kid.
Dave is so on fire at the end of this episode. He's killing me right now.
And honorable mention the Bills versus winning when it matters.
Womp womp. All right. So do we have a winner? Chris, you want to pick a winner?
I'm going to go ahead and pick Matt. Just because Matt.
Yeah, Matt, they took some shit earlier. And yeah, I like free time. I like Scott Pilgrim. I kind of like Cloud. So, okay, Matt wins. Congratulations, Matt. I think that's Matt's first win. So the score is like
first and last.
it's like Jerf 65, Matt 1, Colby 1-1 before, but yeah.
Chris is up there too, man. Chris and right. Jerf.
I think close. I got one.
Chris has one. Jerf has like 60, but
I think that giant robot one got me one.
All you have to do is talk about giant robots, then we're in.
Japanese fighting mechs.
That's right. Yeah, that was it. So thank you everyone who wrote in again. If you want to participate by giving your top threes and having us include them in the show, the best place to do that's in the Discord server. There's an invite link in the show notes below. If you click episode description, you'll see it. You can also keep an eye on our Instagram and Facebook pages. Although this is now two podcasts in a row where I forgot to post the topics there. So that is a less than reliable place at this point. So, again, thank you to everyone who writes in. We appreciate it. And let's see here. Chris, thanks for coming on the show, man.
Thanks for having me again. I'll have to do a draft one with you guys. That'll be
absolutely.
Please do.
I'll hit the hat trick there.
Yeah, that'd be sick. We're getting up to that point now where we have, you know, Sarah's done four, Craig's done three, Rat's done three, Chris has done two. We're starting to get to that era of we got to start buying robes for people, man. Because they're going to start hitting five, man.
Alan's done 90. It's crazy.
Yeah, sorry. Well, Beth's done 43. Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah. Those other 45 were Bloodbath's evil twin.
Bloodbath. He's from Sweden.
Do you think we can get Bloodbath back, though?
Nah, he died, Alan. High cholesterol, man.
Too much whack Arnold's. Yep. So if you want to throw support to a top three podcast, you can do that by leaving a 5-star rating and review. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, it's pretty easy to do. If you look at the show's page there, that's really helpful for when somebody searches top three rivalries in their podcast app. They'll find this episode. That's what we want. If you want to support monetarily, you can do that at patreon.com/realDaveJackson. Always appreciated. You'll be able to vote in polls for what we do on the show. And I think that that's all we have for this episode. So, Aaron, you want to take us out?
Well, we've had a lot of fun today, haven't we? Talking rivalries, some good fighting, a little pizza and food here and there. However, Chris's mom is blowing, means we must be going. No more top three showing for you. Well, don't just start to whine. We'll see you again next time, because there's plenty of more a top three left to do. Making lists, making fun of bloodbath, fighting around the world.